Chris Lau, your host. I've got Steve and Eddie with me as always. Steve's up in Minnesota. How are you today, buddy?
Doing really well. Had a nice weekend with youth sports. I can't talk. It's been good quality time with the family. The weather's starting to change. Leaves are turning colors. It's fall, y'all.
Definitely seeing that down here too a little bit. Noticed it today, like, you know, the leaves changing color and starting to fall. Eddie, how's Toronto, my friend?
About the same. Not as cold yet, but it's my favorite season, so I cannot complain. And right around this time, we got Champions League, NFL starting, if you guys are into that. But I'm all right. A little bit under the weather, but the Sevilla win is making me feel a little bit better.
Nice shot in the arm there for you.
Yeah, right. Like, finally, we got some positive news to talk about in Sevilla land.
Right.
Finally, we got some goals. We got some wins. It's so nice to finally get a win on the board. Quick shout out. I don't know if you guys are tennis fans or not, but I've been watching the U.S. Open this week, and oh my gosh, the Spaniard. That's why I'm wearing my Spain jersey today, just to give him a little shout out there. Carlos Alcaraz, his first Grand Slam, I think, a major tournament. I don't know if it's a Grand Slam. I'm not a big tennis guy, but that guy, man, he's so much fun to watch. He's a ball of lightning. And congratulations to all the Spaniards listening. And looks like we got a really young guy. I think he's, what, 18, 19 years old, something? Number one in the world starting tomorrow, so... Geez, if you haven't seen him play, take a peek, because he's going to be a special talent. Spain just keeps churning out tennis guys. But anyway, we're not a tennis podcast here. I just wanted to give a shout out there because that was special this week. So Sevilla had two matches since our last broadcast. Our first Champions League match at home against Man City. That's about all we want to say because we got crushed. 4-0, tied our second worst loss ever in the Champions League. They got kind of a stoppage time goal there to take that record. Haaland dominated. Actually, I didn't think he didn't dominate like he did at Dortmund. He just did what he does. He got goals, and that's what he does. So good.
It's fun to watch, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a monster. They call him a goal monster, and he's just an unbelievable player. And young. We're going to have to deal with him forever. So, anyway, glad he didn't go to La Liga. Let's say that. I'm glad he's in the APL. Sevilla just, dominated, or got dominated. Lopetegui tried some different things with the lineup. Kept it pretty close at halftime, 1-0. Some changes in the second half. Some gifts. I mean, Jordan came on and immediately gave some gifts away. Bono with a couple saves to kind of save it from being worse. And anyway, that's the match. There's not much to really say. I think Man City had 22 shots. Just kind of shows you how dominant they were. Just really, really dominant. But that game kind of set up a lot of anger and fuel for the Fire Lopetegui crowd. I guess, the Sevilla supporters there just didn't appreciate like how we approached the match and the effort that the players gave on the field, I guess. And I think all of us on the podcast here, I'll let you guys speak for yourselves, but I didn't think the Man City match was the determining factor on whether Lopetegui should stay or should go. It's Man City. Like, I knew we were going to lose. I thought it was going to be worse. So, to me, I wasn't angry after the match. I was whatever. But then immediately, Twitter was going crazy, and the board is meeting, and Monty's meeting with other Sampaoli's coming and all kind of people rumored, right? So guys, do you want to say anything about the match? Go ahead and do that. And then talk about the midweek stuff with Lopetegui. Ended up, Lopetegui stays for at least the Espanyol match. We'll get into that a little bit later. Steve, anything on the match or the Lopetegui rumors, gossip stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, sure, it wasn't the best showing. It was a terrible showing. It was our worst showing in Champions League at home ever. But it was still home football in the Champions League. And there's always something special about that. So no matter how poorly we're playing at any given time, if we're playing in the Champions League, I'll be tuning in. It's something that we can cherish, and it's fun to watch. As when it gets to the coaching carousel, Chris, you mentioned that before, like, the decision on Lopetegui probably was made before Man City. Like, Man City was not the determining factor. I would go even a step further than that and say it was probably made before Barcelona. I think that if the board decides to move on from Lopetegui, it will be because of the way that we handled the first three games of the season, and that loss in match day three kind of wrapped everything up. It could put a tidy little bow on it. And at that point, it was Lopetegui kind of just fighting for his job in a way that is kind of more reflective of how they respond to adversity on the pitch instead of getting results, because I don't think there was any way that we were going to be pulling points away from Barcelona or getting points from Man City. But you have to look at how the team played and how the team responded to that. And Lopetegui tried some different formations in both of those games, really. But didn't work. Things fell apart, and they fell apart. They crumbled, like, in spectacular fashion in the second half of both of those games. And it left the fans very upset, wanting more. And I think that is what sparked those board meetings and all those other coaching carousel scenarios that you brought up there, Chris. And something tells me that those meetings were not spur of the moment. They probably were just scheduled to happen after that first Champions League match, just with the way, just the schedules of all these other people and important folks. They kind of get filled up pretty quickly. So I don't think that Lopetegui can do anything from here on out to change the mind of a lot of Sevilla supporters at this point. Unless he wins every other match for the rest of the season, I don't think that there's going to be a lot of change in sentiment about that. I hope that he can turn it around. I hope that he can make things right by the Sevillistas and by the board and by his bosses, really. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that we are in for a run of mediocre play if we keep him at the helm. And it's the unfortunate truth that that mediocre play is probably going to be enough to keep him at the helm, just with what we've seen from the board in the past. Like, if we draw against Villarreal, if we I don't think that the Copenhagen game midweek really plays into any of this. I don't think that the board is going to be looking at that at all. But I think that
Why wouldn't they, though? I mean, like, that's a must-win match if you really want to challenge for second or third, if you're trying to continue your European, trophy push, and more importantly, money push, I think, getting out of the group this year. Why wouldn't they consider that, I guess?
Because I don't have any faith in the board to make the right decision at this point. it comes right down to that. I would be considering it. I would be looking at that. I think that the board right now is probably more concerned about finishing in the top four and getting into Champions League next year. The fact that we are in Champions League right now is, like, done and dusted for this season, just based on what they have talked about in the past and the stance that they have. I don't think that's right. Some of you might agree with me. Some of you might think that my assessment of this entire situation is wrong. But just individually, that's where I think the board is, based on everything that I've seen in the past couple of years. I think that that is going to be their mindset going into this. So
That's, we might find out on Wednesday.
Yeah, we might find out on Wednesday.
Eddie, what do you think?
About Lopetegui's tenure in general?
And tenure in general, is Copenhagen important, or is it all riding on the Villarreal match now, now that we've kicked the can from the Espanyol down to Villarreal?
It is important, for sure, because I'm pretty sure we're still expected to qualify from this group. So, say it's a heavy defeat away in Denmark, it might create a little bit more, you know, I'm not sure if they'll instill panic on the board. I don't think they want to panic, but just further unrest. We have Atletico at home on the weekend, so it might, you know, change the mood of the fans that had that game, if that matters at this point. But Copenhagen is important. It's a must-win game. I think those are the 3 points that are easiest to come by in the group anyway. Both games against Copenhagen, so that's a must-win. The game against Man City, as you mentioned, wasn't going to be the reason that he got sacked. I think a lot of people foresaw a defeat of that magnitude. So I know because of what happened elsewhere in Europe with Leipzig and Chelsea, maybe they thought it would be a hat-trick of sackings. But I guess the board stuck with their guns here. That some faith in Lopetegui is like, we're not going to let you go that easily or not this quickly. We're going to stick by you, but you have to show us something. You have an opportunity here against Espanyol, and you kind of have to win here because we're down at the bottom of the table. Not that the standings are that important right now because it's not that many games played, but it was a must win this weekend.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a lot of rumors saying that the $12 million buyout or whatever would drop if Sevilla was in a regulation position at a certain point. Did I get it right? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows, right?
Who knows? There's so much crap that I read on the internet this week. You don't know. So we'll see. I mean, he did his job on Sunday. He got through another week. Sevilla takes the 2-3 victory up in Barcelona against Espanyol. We saw an early goal this week from Lamela. Like, holy cow, like right out of the gate within the first 60 seconds, Sevilla's on the board 1-0. Lamela got a through ball from Carmona, who got his first La Liga start, playing kind of that right back position, right? And ahead of Navas and Montiel. So through ball, Lamela, you know, wrote out a challenge and put it in the back of the net. That's what you want to see. And he's had his opportunities this year, and he finally got it. So got his first goal there. Carmona gets his first La Liga goal a little bit later. It was a corner from Acuna, and Ezri heads it right to the keeper. Pretty good header by Ezri. Keeper spilled it a little bit, and Wani was on the spot there. Well, Wani, Carmona, he's on the spot. Not Johnny, Wani. Anyway, puts it in the back of the net. 2-0 Sevilla. Then he gets his third just a little bit later, right at 45 minutes, I think, right before halftime. The defender, Cabrera, just made a meal out of whatever he was trying to do, and Carmona right on the spot again there, putting pressure on and puts it in the back of the net. Sevilla up 3-0, riding high, and then La Liga ref strike not too long after that. Call a penalty on Acuna, handball. Joselu comes up, knocks it in, going to halftime, 1-3. Sevilla riding high. Not as high as they could have been, but second half, Braithwaite comes in, scores, he kind of heads it. Bono fumbles it a little bit, kind of spills it, right out. Really made a meal of that too. And right to Braithwaite and, puts it in the back of the net. That was 62 minutes. So 2-3 at that point, rest of the match, very nervy. Lamela gets a red card, you know, his second yellow, 83rd minute, I think it was. And just set up for a scramble at the end. Sevilla went down another man later with Fernando Looks to be, you know, heat exhaustion is what it was appearing to be. Just really struggling, it looked like. And so he was a good, you know, 4 or 5 minutes or more without Fernando there at the end. 10 plus, it was like 10 minutes of stoppage time in this match, too. Just unbelievable. I don't know where that came from, but Sevilla holds on. Fernando. Yeah, but even that wasn't, but maybe a couple minutes. And there wasn't like
2 minutes
long
in stoppage time. And they had, what, 6 or 7 on the board, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it started with 6 or 7. It took 2 minutes into extra time for us to even see what how much extra time it was.
That was so weird. And then it was like 7 minutes. What is this?
Yeah, it was so weird. Anyway, ended up playing a lot. Sevilla holds on, gets their first win of the year. Lopetegui saves his job for another day. Sevilla is now 4 points, still right there at the bottom of the table. Only goal differential from being at the bottom of the table. So, but on the positive, they're only 6 points behind Villarreal, right? So we're still early, and we play them Sunday. So a win, you're only 3 points behind those guys, and that's kind of probably who you're going to be chasing for those European spots. So that's a good measure. Eddie, what did you think about the game?
I think we're very fortunate with the goals. Shout out to Sevilla's best player, Cabrera, on the Espanyol backline that gifted us those goals, really. I mean, Lamela, yes, had his chances, but it was a very poor challenge by him in that first minute to let Lamela in, but Lamela finished in a 5-hole, too. It wasn't that easy of a chance either, so good on him. But Carmona was probably one of our best players in preseason. So I'm very glad he's getting the minutes. He has been playing at center back. He's more of a defensive player, but he could do a job at right back as well. And having two goals and an assist in this game, just being at the right place at the right time, right? But to actually act on it, because we had bad chances in the past and haven't finished. So good on him to finish those straight from the Sevilla Academy. So you love to see it. But I think we're very fortunate in this game because I don't trust our defense yet. That's going to need some work. I feel like we'll have a much better defense once Marcao comes back, because we really need a leader back there. But having said that, we had to suffer for this as we normally do, and get on the guys to hold on even with 10 men. I don't know where that red card came from. I could see the intent of why he's shown the red. Because of Lamela's lunge, but he didn't make contact. Even the yellow card he got. But enough about referees. I don't like to harp on that. I think we just have to take care of things defensively. I really enjoy Isco up there in the hole, bringing back, you know, the pause that we used to get with Banega. I mean, I know Papu's capable of the same, but I feel like, I don't know about you guys, I feel like he kind of rushes the pace a little bit sometimes when it needs to be slowed down. But I don't know, different styles. But a win is a win. I'll take the 3 points, especially away from home.
Yeah, huge win. A little bit of that Lopetegui luck that we had in the first part of last season came back with these goals. And we haven't had a lot of that lately, so good to see that. Steve, you know, the penalty call on Acuna, kind of controversial. What did you think? Was it a penalty? Like, letter of the law says no, but what do you think?
I don't know. Like, the way it was, I mean, it was called a penalty on the field. VAR didn't I don't know if VAR didn't intervene. I can't remember if it went to VAR or not. But with all of the, all the replays that we saw, I could see, okay, like, yeah, like, this is, it's not going to be close enough to overturn, or it's not going to be, it's too close to overturn. It's not like a clear and obvious error. It went right underneath his armpit. It looked like it could have hit it. It could not have hit it. But the ref saw something in the moment and called it. I think that this is probably one of the least controversial calls that we've had in the last year and a half. I think this is not necessarily a bad call. It's just unfortunate that it went against us. Does that make sense? It's not like the penalty that we had in, what was it, match day one, that was it Papu gave up that penalty at the edge of the box. Like, that was a completely different scenario. And we've seen so many bad calls this year in other games as well. Fortunately, we haven't really been at the on the receiving end of a lot of these bad calls as Civistas. But I think every other game in any week, really, has at least one bad call that is sparking controversy. And I think that this call in and of itself is not necessarily one of the, like, even close to being the worst defender that we could have seen or we have seen.
It didn't cost us a game, thank goodness, but
no,
it was a terrible call, and I don't think it went to VAR. I think the ref just stuck with his decision, which was a shame, because Cunha had no idea. His back was turned. Guy had it in. It almost looked like it came off his knee and then went up to his arm on another replay. So I don't know.
It could have been called differently, but just the, I don't know. I don't fault the ref as much for this one as I do for a lot of the other calls that have have gone from badly.
The crappy thing is he got a yellow. Like, come on.
Yeah, like that
the yellow
that,
on top. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That was probably for arguing, because you know Cunha, he's got a mouth on it.
Very, very well could have been for dissent, because it came pretty well after the fact too, if I remember.
Yeah.
If I could just shoot a question to Steve. How do you feel about Enesiri getting the start? And
I hated it.
I did not want to see
him get the start, but then he showed up. I think he only had one time where his feet kind of fell out from underneath him, but he had. There were two or three times that I wrote down that he actually received the ball in stride and didn't make a meal of it, but actually put one on target and forced the keeper to actually make a spectacular save. And and then we had already talked about the first goal for Carmona, where Enesiri does honestly what he does best is using his head on set pieces. I mean, he's good at that. But no, I was happy with the way he played. I was not all that happy at the moment when I saw that he got the start. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Because I wasn't happy either.
I think everybody was probably like, oh, really?
No, I mean, I don't know if my expectations for him have just sunken down to like astronomically low depths right now, or if he actually played that well, but he impressed me. Like, he exceeded the expectations that I had for him in this game. And I can't fault him at all. Like, yeah, sure, like one or two mistakes, that's not anything to balk at. It doesn't detract from the all around pretty good football that he played.
Yeah, definitely. Just looked it up. He was the third highest rated player for Sevilla outside of Isco and of course Carmona with the man of the match. So stats showed that he had a good game too. So yeah, I was shocked when he made the keeper make a save and he didn't sky it in the bar. So hopefully this is good, you know, signs of things to come, because we've seen him be a really good player. We'll see. We need to. I hope he finds the back of the net soon. You know, Lopetegui loves him, so he's going to get his opportunities.
It was more of a defensive pick, because even though Rafa tracks back as well, I think Enesiri is probably best at doing that.
Yeah,
we'll even cover a left back if he needs to, right? So
covers a lot of ground. Sure does. He'll run his butt off. So we mentioned Isco there, and Eddie, I agree, man. Like, you can see the quality. Like, anytime he receives the ball, he kind of knows what he wants to do with it before he receives the ball, which I don't know that we've seen that in a while. Maybe Rakitic at times, but, I mean, he just seems – the quality's there. You can tell, and he'll make a turn where we haven't seen a lot of players making that kind of maneuver. Mm-hmm. Torres got the start, too, and – what did you think about his play together with Isco? Did they work well together, or?
It works, especially with the style of play that Lopetegui employs. You need players on the field that know how to play with the ball. I guess that's why Delaney might be a tougher choice. Not that he's terrible, but he doesn't have the same kind of touch that Oliveira does. And Jordan could be really nice on the ball as well when he wants to. I think in this game he had some decent touches and some good looks as well, like he normally does. And we're finally playing through the middle, something that we've lacked a lot. So I guess because the formation is very narrow, so you're going to get more bodies in the center of the pitch. But having Isco there, a lot of quality there and someone to accompany the forwards, because our center forward is normally isolated. So I guess in that regard, it's helping. But we'll see with time if this formation works, because it's a very tough formation to pull off.
Yeah. What was more surprising? Just a question. Jordan getting the start or Nesri getting the start?
Both.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, like, man.
Jordan
is always going to start. We renewed his contract. That's why he's being backed so much. It's hard to give up on Jordan because of that fact.
Yeah.
So I understand. I understand people not being a big fan of him, because his mistakes are very glaring. But that's our guy. We have to back him, and Lopetegui trusts him. It's like in certain players that he trusts. Most of the players that he had on there is the ones that he trusted, that are going to do a job for him to the best of their ability. So I think he was all right. He's the next Espanol player. I'm not sure. I think he came from their academy as well, but if there's a ground he's going to do well on, it's over there.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised at all that he got the start. Especially with Papu being out. Like, it's like we're thin in the midfield anyway. And Nesri is just, I don't know. It feels like that is more of a kind of a shocker, because we've got Rafa Mir and we've got Dolberg now, like our fancy new signing on the front, and they all play pretty much the same position. They play it in a little bit different ways, but it's really the same position. And I feel like you could, you know, roll a three-sided dice and it would come up. Like, and it would just be that's who you're starting this week. Just in Lopetegui's mind, they're pretty interchangeable in the starting lineup. I think if we are going to be shocked by anything in that, at that position, it would be if we start two in a different formation. I think that would be the only thing that would shock me at this point, for who starts up top.
What a hell of a way to give a guy confidence, though. I mean, okay, you had a really terrible half against Man City. Here, you're in the starting lineup. Like,
yeah.
I believe in you. Like, that's got to be the message, and hopefully these guys are getting that. And
well, we're going to see a lot of it too, because we've got a massive run of games between now and the World Cup, because it's pretty much two games a week until then, with the group stage of Champions League going every week now. So it's like we're going to see a lot of strange lineups. We're going to see a lot of players get starts that wouldn't normally start in a big important game, and I think we're going to see a lot of Oliver Torres in league play, because he's not available in Champions League. So I think we're going to see a lot more of him playing in the center there, in the midfield.
Sure. Yeah. So Sevilla gets their first win, like we said. Rakitic after the match said, these have been very difficult days for everyone, but together we can push forward. We understand the situation. Hopefully we can enjoy playing a little more, but today it was time to get the 3 points, and with them, confidence and calm will come. So Rakitic laying it out there for us that better things are coming for this team. We can all hope for that. And they're right back into it this week. They travel to Denmark to play Copenhagen in the Champions League. That's Wednesday, September 14th, 3 p.m. Eastern time, 9 p.m. Sevilla time. Copenhagen lost to Dortmund in their first match, 3-0 in the Champions League. They've won 4 and lost 5 in their start to the Danish Super League, currently sitting in 6th place. So they've played a lot of matches over there already, 9 matches already. So, anybody know anything about this team? I know diddly.
Zero. I didn't even do my research, because, I mean, what did we do in the Champions League last season? Jack, we just qualified for the Europa League. So it's whoever we play, just bring it. We're going to Denmark. We got a few Danish players. That's all I really know, man.
Yeah, I have not.
I don't have anything either.
Yeah. I know the new guy, Dahlberg, was excited to go back. I think he's played them in the past, but looking forward to going back home, I guess. So that's all we got for you, folks. We did a hell of a job researching this upcoming game, as you can tell. Hopefully the team puts in more effort than we did. So At least I gave you some stats on what they've done this year in the league. Right after that game, we go back to La Liga, and Sunday, September 18th, Sevilla is traveling over to Villarreal. Huge matchup against their former old boss, Emery. Villarreal dropped their La Liga match today against Betis. So he's going to be really fired up to make sure that they don't win two in a row to Sevilla game or Sevilla team. So, tough match, guys. And a really important victory, I think, for, or at least a draw for Sevilla to get some points out of that match. How do you see that happening?
I could see us winning that. I mean, Villarreal is a tough game. It's a different approach now, but normally against Villarreal, we usually let them have the bulk of the possession. So now that we're more vertical, hopefully those counters could come off. Because Lamela really missed a great chance to score to Inesit in that Espanyol game. So as long as we do better with our chances in the counter, I think we'll have some success there. But I worry about the defense again. But we'll see how we line up there, but it's something that still needs work. Steve, how are you optimistic about the Villarreal matchup, or think another Sevilla type coach is going to do us a favor?
I honestly don't really know how I feel about it. It's hard not to get my hopes up seeing how we played in the first half against Espanyol, and also how we played in the first half of a lot of the other league games that we played. I can see what we're trying to do, and there are glimpses in every game that we've played except for Man City. There are glimpses of what we need to do to be successful, but we can never string it together. And we didn't really string anything together for a full 90 against Espanyol either. We just kind of got lucky in the last 20 minutes or so. So I wouldn't say I'm all that optimistic, but I'm not necessarily super pessimistic about it either. I don't think that it's not like when I woke up on Tuesday morning, I'm like, okay, like I'm going to watch this team, but we're probably not going to do very well against Man City. So coming up this weekend, go into it with full expectations that we can perform well. I just don't know if we will. In terms of what result we need, I think that this and pretty much every other league game at this point going forward, until we kind of establish ourselves at that, well, where we want to be at the top end of the league table, I think it's going to be a must-win game. And I think a lot of the fans in Sevilla and those of us around the world would agree with me. It's like we need to show that we can sustain success and string multiple games with positive results together, because one win against Espanyol is not going to inspire a whole lot of confidence if we don't back that up with more results on the pitch.
It's a final, as they like to say, right?
Yeah, and the fact that it's against Emery and it adds a little bit more juice to it, and the fact that it is against a team that we are in genuine competition for. If we want to be a top four team, we need to be able to beat Villarreal. We need to show that we can beat them. The first three games of the year, we lost and we dropped points. We didn't lose all of them, but we dropped points to teams that should be well below us. And we can chalk that up to just not being right mentally and take maybe going in overconfident, whatever cliche you want to use for that. And then we lost to Barcelona, but Barcelona is a tier or two above us at this point. Like they're a great football team, and that's just the fact of the matter. So the team that we on paper will match up the best against is Villarreal, and we need to prove that we can beat that team in order to be successful.
Took a Koundé extra time goal to get a draw against them back last year. So when we went to Villarreal, so no Koundé.
Yeah. And we were in a much different spot last year. Like we were at the top of the table, and they were the ones that were trying to catch up to us and knock us out of the top four. Tables are kind of turned right now. What'd you say, Chris? There's 6-7 points ahead of us right now in the table. Like we need to catch up ground. And the fastest way to catch up that ground is to beat those teams that are ahead of us instead of relying on other people to beat them for us.
Table doesn't matter right now. Let's see what it's like in March. Or at least a third of the games or a quarter of the games played. They got a lead on us, but...
You can say it doesn't matter now, but the table this time of year, last year, was why we were able to hold on to our top four position in May.
Sure.
Like
a good start matters, yeah.
We have to be mid-table. Like we can't be. We can't be bottom of the table and expect him to keep his job. Yeah. There's no way.
You can't win the league in the first 8 match days, but you can definitely lose it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, definitely.
But we're not going for the league. So if we're going for fourth, I am still not worried, man. These teams do not worry me.
With Lopetegui.
Even with Lopetegui, I'm not worried, man. Ooh. These other teams have the same coaches. Betty's playing well right now. Villarreal playing well. Good for them. That's great for them. But it's still September, right? September? Yeah. September 11th.
September.
Yeah, it's our early doors.
Perf. That's pretty bold.
I am not worried. Well, even if we sack the manager, I'll go a step further. Yeah, I'm not... It's cool.
Jeez. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but we'll see. I mean, we got only time will tell, right? We've got a lot of new players, some that haven't even played yet. So maybe they fit in nicely and we're back ready, gunning for that fourth place position. Who knows? Sevilla Women was supposed to play kickoff their season this past weekend, but. The refs are on strike. The players at Atletico Madrid, and I forgot who they were playing, were out on the pitch, ready to go, and the refs didn't show. They just everybody was there but the refs. So striking, don't know anything yet. So who knows? I don't know when the games will start.
Demanding professional status. So I guess they're not getting paid like the refs are getting paid. In the men's league, so.
To be fair, the refs getting paid in the men's league are paid pretty poorly anyway. But it's a very thankless profession. It's a very thankless profession.
I have no idea, but they're terrible. They don't deserve thanks, but they do deserve pay. So pay those people and get them out on the field. Let's go. Everybody deserves pay, especially if you're making money from they probably don't make a lot of money from the women's game, but hey, yeah, they are. I mean, Barcelona's selling out their games and stuff. Come on. Yeah, pay these people. And then Sevilla Atletico, we won't touch on them much this year. We'll kind of follow them a little bit. They won their first match, lost their second. They're way down in fourth division, so hard to find information on those guys anyway without following Twitter feeds, so. Anyway, guys, another week. A lot of drama this week. It seems like it's a never-ending drama with this team right now. It's like a soap opera. And maybe that's what people like. Del Nido sure likes a good drama, evidently, because that's what he showed in the stands.
Generating buzz.
Jeez. Holy cow. Anything else before we hop off?
Nada. I got nothing. Just win. Just win, man. It's the Champions League.
Score goals and win. That's all we do. That's all we
just
want.
Win. Just win, man. I don't care who starts. Just get the win and get out of there.
Exactly.
I just want to say, seeing Carmona play so well in the first half of that game and then being subbed off by Jesus Navas was like kind of poetic. It's just like Jesus Navas for so long has been our academy player who like held down that right side and seeing him come on for a person who could be his replacement. Hopefully he turns into somebody that could be a replacement for him. It kind of made me feel things. And I was just like, I don't like this. I don't like seeing Jesus Navas be relegated to a lesser role on the team, on the pitch. But it's cool that maybe a replacement for him has come and we could be in for another treat of a player for many, many years.
Speaking of that, we didn't even mention Kiki Salas.
He gets his first start.
So congratulations to him. Congratulations, Carmona, first league goal, an assist. Just excellent. Excellent week. Good to see the academy players playing, right? Good shout-outs to you. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie mentioned earlier, you know, the date 9/11 holds a special place in all of our hearts. Just, you know, thoughts, feelings, all that good stuff for everybody that was affected by that date. Thanks to our folks up in Canada, Eddie, there for really supporting us through that time and housing a lot of folks that were stranded on, you know, at the airports and in some of the cities. There was a lot of humanitarian aid that happened during that time. And anyway, it's hard to believe it's been that long.
21 years.
21 years. Unbelievable. But anyway, on that note, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos campeón.
Y nunca nos rendimos.